friends. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. Are you there, Lou?
I am. How are we doing this morning?
Good, good. How about you?
I'm a little chilly, but I'm okay.
Yeah, me too. That's why I have a sweater on today. It's cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Lou, I was wondering, what do you think about having your picture on the screen so viewers can see both of us?
Oh, I can do that.
That would be good. I miss not having you where I can look at you.
You want to do that now? Let's do that now.
Yeah, great. Perfect.
Well, we're going to do it that
perfect.
Way.
Yep. Hey, Lou, how are you?
Very good. How are we doing today?
Good, good. For those of you who don't know, Lou is the mastermind behind these podcasts, setting them up, managing them, putting them on the airwaves and sending it out to you. And Lou does all the technical stuff. So, and he's become a good friend and I really enjoy working with him.
Yeah, I do too. I get to sit in the front row of the class here and you and I have become good friends. And on top of that, getting all this great information. And what we're looking at is two single verse episodes in a row, which are always exciting.
Yes. Today we're going to be doing chapter 9, verse 20. And I can tell you that this sort of leads to a very important question that many of us have in our mind. What is consciousness?
Yes.
What is Brahman? What is life? What is God? What is karma? Is there such a thing? And what happens when we die? Who is the one that leaves the body? What is the thing that leaves the body? And where does it go? And what is heaven? What is hell? Today, we're doing, what is this, episode 98, Lou?
Yeah, this is episode 98. Let me ask you a question about that, though, because I think in the last episode, we talked about the differences between being conscious and consciousness. So I want to ask the question, when we're going to talk about consciousness, are we talking about consciousness or being conscious?
Well, we don't want to get too far astray today because it'll take the whole session just talking about those things.
Yes.
But essentially, being conscious is a form of consciousness,
right?
But I think when we talk about consciousness as a noun, as a term of consciousness, we mean something slightly different. I think generally in lay terms, we talk of being conscious as not being under anesthesia or having fainted or in deep sleep. That's what we mean. Is that your understanding? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, I'm wondering, are we talking about my consciousness or the greater? Are we talking about Brahman? Are we talking about the greater consciousness?
There you go. Now that's the whole question. Is your consciousness and my consciousness separate? Or is it the same? Is your consciousness and Brahman and my consciousness and Brahman separate? So to give you one example that is given very often in the Vedanta is if there is one sun in the sky, right? And you have a bucket, this is what they show. I mean, if there's a wooden bucket, a large wooden bucket filled with water, and the sun reflects off that bucket of water, you're seeing a reflection off that sun. Right. Now, what Vedanta says is, imagine the sun is Brahman. It's all powerful, it's reflecting. And it's falling on the bucket, not the bucket, but the water on the bucket. Because if the bucket were empty, you wouldn't see any reflection.
Right.
But if the sun's rays fall on the water right to the top, it reflects. And if you look in the water, you see a glaring sun, correct?
Yeah.
So that consciousness, so this Brahman in the sky, the water is Lu, and Lu's light that's shining through is a reflection of Brahman. So that the consciousness of the Brahman and the consciousness of Lu, which is the body of water in the bucket, is almost identical. It's a reflection of that Brahman. But is it individual? Now, I put another bucket next to it, fill that with water, and that's me. And there's filled with water, and the sun reflects off of that. And you look and you say, oh, I see two suns over here, two separate suns, but slightly different because the angle I'm looking at it is different. But that is me. Now, you look at it as two separate ones, but it's the same Brahman reflecting off of both.
Right.
So is the consciousness in you and the consciousness in me different? Is the light reflection off of those two buckets of water different? You see what I'm saying? And then you can have multiple buckets, billions of them, in fact, and the sun is reflecting off of every bucket. And is that all different? Is Brahman different? Another analogy is if you take the ocean and you have a pot that's open at the top It's right. a clay pot. You put it inside the ocean so that it's filled with ocean water. There's ocean water inside, ocean water outside. Now, is that ocean water inside different from the ocean water outside? You put a billion pots over there. Is that water different? Each pot may think, this is me. I'm an individual. This inside water is me. Yet, if you chip away at each pot at the same time simultaneously, all the ocean water and the pot water inside the billion pots becomes the same.
Right.
So it's a little difficult to understand with the ocean water concept, but if you understand it with the Vedantic analogy of the sun reflecting off the water in the pots, it becomes much clearer. But right. like I said, we can just go on and on talking about this because it's a little more deep.
Yeah.
But does that answer to some extent your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So going back, I think what we were going to do is episode 100, which is today's episode 98. And episode 100, I was going to devote, because it's the 100th episode, devote to concepts such as consciousness, which we just talked about briefly.
Yeah.
Karma. What does karma do to us in this life, next life, and so on? When we die, where do we go? Heaven, hell, what is all that about? Sin.
Right.
And when we die, what leaves us? Is it, like people say, the soul? What is the soul? What is Atman? Does Atman leave us? Is Atman stationary? Those kind of concepts, I would probably like to devote one whole hour
yes.
to that. And I hope that you friends will find it very, very interesting. I find it fascinating.
Yes.
All right, so
put a pause here, 100 episodes in, and just look at some of the bigger issues.
Yeah. So verse 20 says, the knowers of the three Vedas, the drinkers of Soma, purified of their papas, worshipping me by yajnas, pray for passage to heaven. Then, reaching the holy world of the Lord of the gods, they enjoy the divine pleasures of the gods in heaven. Now, it's deep, this thing. And I think this, don't forget, when this was written, there were only three Vedas. The fourth Veda came later. So you can imagine how many thousands of years old this Gita is. But the Vedas are even older than that. The Vedas prescribe the Upanishads. And in there, there's part of the Vedas that talks about various rituals to perform in order to get to heaven. And we'll talk about the fact that there is no heaven. It's just a state of mind. That's a whole other thought that we have to keep in mind. But what this basically says is that Vedas and Soma are rituals to get to heaven. Every religion that you know of says do good things, do punya, as in Sanskrit it's called punya, which right. is doing good things for other people, not for your selfish needs. All religions say, do good things and these rituals to get to heaven. Now, what this verse is saying is that the Vedas are basically, you learn it, you study it, but basically you're doing this to get to heaven. It's a ritual. And Soma is the rus, the juice that you drink after the studying and rituals to say, I've accomplished something. Again, to get to heaven. There is no such place. It's a state of mind. We'll talk about this. What exactly is heaven? What is hell? Hell is agitation, mental agitation. So that the easier concept to understand is that when you die, your body drops off, but your mind, your subtle body, your mind, your intellect, your senses, things that you've learned, your personality, these are all carved into your consciousness. That is still alive and it will just take on another body. Mm-hmm. You may find that hard to believe and we can talk about this in episode 100. But Mozart, he was doing at the age of 6 or 7, he was doing performing phenomenal concerts and showing his acuity in music all over Europe. Did he learn that so quickly, or is it something that he had learned in previous lives
yeah.
and was carrying it with him as a skill? These are child prodigies, and there are many examples, and I can give you some books to read if you're interested in reincarnation that proves it. But when the mind leaves the body and goes about until it waits for another body, you understand that what the Christian religion calls it is limbo in a way. It's waiting. It's waiting to get another body. And it right. has the choice of picking which body it goes to based on how much good deeds it's done. So you can pick a good body, a handsome body, a good family, a good part of the world. Those are your choices based on your standing in life and your karmas up to that point. Now, what causes you to go to hell, quote unquote, is when you have a lot of desires. All of these desires cause you to have selfishness, and selfishness produces more desires, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And the more agitated your mind is, one indication is your sleep and your dreams. If your dreams are constantly scary, frightening, full of agitation, you know that your mind is currently very agitated, very frightened and anxious and restless. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to a person who sleeps very peacefully, very calmly, very satisfied because he or she is doing the right thing. And when such a thing happens, when that person's mind dies and it's waiting for the next body, it's at peace. And that total peace suggests that that person is in heaven. He's not suffering after death. Right. I hope that concept is clear.
Yeah.
So there are three types of human pursuits. One is extremely selfish. That's the most common, where people are doing things for either their body or their mind or their intellect. The body is all the perceptions, the five senses. You're looking to satisfy them. You're looking for desires that satisfy your eyes, your ears, your taste buds, the rest of your body. And similarly, the mind is looking for affection, love, good kind of feelings from other people. And the intellect is looking for more and more knowledge and understanding of different things. The selfish person is mentally agitated, always sorrowful, always anxious. The unselfish person also has some amount of selfishness, but less so than the selfish, the first quality. That unselfish person has a higher goal and so has a lot more mental peace than the one who is totally selfish. Happiness within their self, and they have a cause that they're pursuing in an unselfish way beyond their selfish needs. So the unselfish deeds provides them with heavenly happiness. They go to heaven in that peace of mind, but in that heaven that they reach, they have no fear or anxiety, no worries about dying or pain or discomfort.
Right.
So when they have used up their good deeds, their punya, then they suddenly die and they come back to this mortal world, is what the scriptures say. There's no warning. Here, because we're always worried, scared, am I going to die? Am I going to fall sick? There's always that fear. I'm getting close to death. I'm getting close to death. I'm getting close to death. But when you are done unselfish deeds and you get to heaven, your mind is at total peace while you're waiting for the next body. When that body comes and you go into that next body because your turn has come, you've done good deeds, there's no warning to say you're going back to the mortal world. You just, it just happens.
Yeah.
We'll talk more in detail about this. So papa sin, papa is called sin in English. The connotation of sin in the English language is different. Am I right, Lou? You would be better off telling me what sin is.
Sin in the Western world, in the Catholic Church, is almost analogous to a crime. You've done something wrong.
Right.
You know, you've done something wrong to something or somebody external. And
yes.
you're in line for punishment at that point.
Right. So stealing something, for instance.
Right.
Now, let's say you go to a mafia don, somebody who's done a lot of things, and you say, I'm going to steal from him. And let's say you've got a starving baby at home or multiple babies at home, and you've said, you know, this guy has stolen from all these people. I'm taking a few loaves of bread. Then I think some people would say that you're still sinning. But according to the Hindu scriptures, what it says is, if it does not create a disturbance within your own mind, then you have not sinned. Sin is the reaction in the person's mind that is doing this so-called bad thing. So for instance, if a person is killing terrorists because he's about to kill a lot of other people, and he says, these people are about to explode, detonate a bomb, I have an opportunity to kill them, you kill them, and then you find that they were about to kill thousands of other people,
right.
You've actually taken a life. Now, some may say, well, you took lives of three of these terrorists, you committed a sin.
Right.
But if your mind says, I did a good thing, I saved all these people, everybody compliments you as a hero, and your mind actually, you say, I'm sleeping very peacefully because I saved the lives of thousands of people. In according to these scriptures, you have not committed a sin. So I hope I've made myself clear.
Yes.
The most perfect definition I found is that given by Swami Parthasarathy, where he says, only an action which produces a negative reaction of regret and guilt and remorse, a mental agitation, then is that action known as a sinful action, and the result is sin.
Right.
So you can rewind this and listen to it again if you want that detail. But that's basically what sin is.
Yes, if you're Western raised, Western religion raised, you have to reconcile the words that we're using here, like God, like sin, you know, and because they're different. And we're raised with it in a certain way, so we have to think about it a little bit differently.
Yeah, so punya is good deeds, and punya transports you to a higher plane. Because punya causes your mind to be not agitated, and because your mind is not agitated, when you die, you go to a more peaceful place, which, according to the scriptures, is called heaven. Now, the first religion that talked about heaven, hell, sin, was the Hindu religion, these scriptures, the Gita and Vedanta, the Upanishads, etc. Christianity didn't come at that time. It came a few thousand years after, so did the other religions. So it is the misnomer, the misunderstanding of these terms, heaven, hell, sin, which has sort of come down and washed. And now so many people in India, so many Hindus, also misunderstand what heaven, hell, sin, paap, punya, etc.
Right.
So I hope this is making it clear. And that is verse 20. I think I've covered most of it. It says, worshipping me by yajnas, pray for passage to heaven, that we talked about, that everybody, every religion says, I want to go to heaven, please let me go there. And then upon reaching the holy world of the Lord of the Lords, these people who did unselfish actions, good deeds, enjoy the divine pleasures of the gods in heaven. And then at some point they come back to earth. And that brings us to the next verse, which we'll do in our next episode. So thank you very much for joining us, and I'll see you next time. And don't forget to tune in to episode 100 in about, 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, depending on when you're watching this, but 2 episodes from now. May already be up if you're watching this a little later.
Thank you.